Night Attack is coming to SF Sketchfest January 22nd. Find more information and tickets at sfsketchfest.com. Let's start the show.
Yay! Oh, hello, beautiful folks. I have no idea what time, place, or location you are right now, but guess what? Right here, live in Austin, Texas, is both me and Justin and Bryce Castillo bringing you the best of the worst of the internet. Night Attack.
Wait a minute, is it Christmas?
If it is, Christmas.
It's a Christmas. It's Christmas today.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, everybody.
We didn't bring him a gift, the internet. We should have brought him something, surprise.
I brought the internet these combs.
Oh, well, I brought the internet Mikey Newman.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, movies
and
with Mikey's
own. And I brought
the
internet this quiz.
Yes!
Mikey's got a Mikey quiz, so we are very excited to get to that, but good to see your face, Mikey.
It's been a second, and 2019 was a little bit of an uphill climb, but here we are on Christmas Day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Face New Year.
My daughter won't stop making the same joke. Like, she's at the point where she forgets who she's told it to, so she keeps asking me to ask her. Ask me what I'm going to be doing in a couple weeks.
What are you going to be doing in a couple weeks?
I don't know. I don't have 20/20 vision. Daughter.
I like the effort.
By the way, that's going to be my excuse whenever I fuck something up in the next year. Like, that'll be my legit excuse.
Yeah, man. Get ready for the retrospectives, making like, you know, hindsight is 2020. Things that we should have expected this year that we didn't see coming, but now we have 2020 hindsight.
Anyway, is anybody on the train of the, like, this isn't really the end of the decade? Is anybody one of those guys?
Man, I feel like this is all of those people shouted themselves hoarse at the millennium, and then, because they wanted to explain that it wasn't the end of the millennium, and then they, because they couldn't speak anymore, they couldn't procreate, so they've had no children. And so as a result, none of those people could talk anymore.
You're saying they died out.
I'm saying yes, that meme has died.
I still see it. Mikey, do you see that around the like, well, technically, we're starting at year one, so next year would be the end of the decade. God.
Yeah, I mean, if you're coming at me with like Common Core decade rules, I don't know. I don't even understand the meme you're talking about. I'm just like,
oh man, no, that was the whole thing. Is everyone was like, stop having all these parties when it becomes the year 2000, because that's not the special day. That's not the end of the millennium. The millennium ends at the end of the 2000th year. So only be happy on 2001. It's dumb.
Okay.
It's dumb.
So basically the argument is that there's no year zero. To which I would say, prove it.
Yeah, right.
You prove it. You prove it to me that there was no year zero. Because if you can find some stone tablet that's like, we all agreed we're starting at one, then I'll be like, cool. Congratulations.
Speaking of Watchmen, they did in fact litigate this very idea of what came first, the chicken or the egg.
Oh yeah.
The answer was.
The answer was
Damon Lindelof with an elongated fart.
Hello,
man.
It's Damon Lindelof.
All right. It's like a dog. You know, I can't.
I didn't bring it up. Yeah. I didn't bring it up.
Sure.
I did do an elongated fart though.
Right. I would like to do the show. Hey, Mikey. 'Tis the season for all families to get together and do Christmas stuff. And of course, a hallowed tradition is to ironically watch the Hallmark Channel or unironically.
I found it non-ironically because, as we were talking about before the show, we had just gotten in a car accident a few weeks ago, and like, it is sort of soothing to like be non-challenged by something. Like, I know where this will end. They will get together and everything will be fine.
Yeah.
That is every Hallmark Christmas movie, which, by the way, is funny because I picked 15 that are not about relationships. Because I knew that would be a
god damn it.
But they're like these very not challenging business movies where like they all have wild jobs. And then everything is fine. And you walk away and you're like, that was calories.
Would you ever do a movies with Mikey about a single Hallmark movie?
I think I could do an episode for sure of like the sort of oeuvre, like how fast you have to pump these out, who's actually in them is always surprising. Everybody needs to work. And I feel like there's a bit of the... couldn't even remember his name for a second. Uwe Boll, how he would like sign.
Yeah.
These big movies by like just at the last second being like, hey, if you have a hole in your schedule, you should be in this Ben Kingsley. And he's like, oh, okay, whatever. And then Dungeon Siege happened.
So wait, hold on. So, because I always assume that these movies were usually, it's like the like third lead of a show that you, that was really popular. They're the like, number one in these Christmas movies. But you're saying, are there actual like names that you'd be shocked are in it?
Yeah, for sure. As a matter of fact, I believe Disney Plus just got in on this game.
Yeah. They have one with like
Christmas stuff.
Yeah. They have like Anna Kendrick and like Bill Hader and stuff like that. Like yeah. they really rolled out the money pit for that one.
Not since Garfield was played by Bill Murray. are we ready to jump into this?
Yeah. We have to explain the rules. Some of these are real, some of these are fake. We got to take turns going first so that nobody game theories it. We'll see how it goes. And what is the category this time?
The name of this quiz is Wait. I'm confused. Is that a real Lifetime Christmas movie? And I'm sorry, I'm so sick. So my voice sounds.
No, that's perfect. It actually fits. It fits where
just
we're going.
Go straight into Gilbert Gottfried.
Is it? This is interesting. I was programming my brain for Hallmark Channel, so I'll have to recalibrate thinking through Lifetime.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Lifetime, not Hallmark.
Yeah, okay.
Although there's a crossover there. But these are all Lifetime movies, either real or fake. I will give you the title and then a synopsis. And I did a, I think, clever thing here where the synopsis is taken from user synopsi.
Got it.
Synopses on IMDb or perfect. I wrote it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Great.
Just sound like someone wrote it on IMDb.
Oh my God. This is the thing is that whenever we get these quizzes, they always seem simple enough. All right, is this a real movie or a fake movie? But there's always, that's what lures you in, the siren song that leads you to the rocks. Because that's what Mikey has for you, is that the way that you're going to be telling whether or not it's a real movie or a fake movie is some mouth breather on IMDb or Mikey writing as somebody who writes Lifetime Channel synopsi on IMDb. There's a goddamn it. I already hate it. I'm already frustrated. My Christmas is already ruined, but I have faith. The reason for the season is me finally winning a Mikey quiz.
Hey, Brian, was that the quickest 0-2 jury rant I've ever had?
I mean, he came in lock cocked, ready to rock, man. He's like
red one yet.
Yeah. He came in wearing that suicide vest with his thumb on the trigger, just waiting for that moment.
I'm not ranting. You're upset. I'm perfectly calm and fine.
I'm not ranting.
He shouted.
Okay. We will start with Brian.
Yes.
Number one, the mistletoe promise. Two strangers who don't enjoy Christmas meet at work, and to avoid being lonely during the holidays, make a pact to deal with holiday events together. But as they get to know each other, they are able to begin enjoying Christmas. They soon realize that their contact may lead them down a road that neither expected, resulting in questionable feelings.
All right. So it's so on the nose that I feel like it should be real so that, you know, you could break that expectation later. But I also feel like you would want to kick us sideways right at the very beginning by throwing us a fake one right out of the bat. So I'm going to say it's fake.
Jerry.
Like, it's too uninspired. It's either you looked and you intentionally found the most uninspired one just to set like this is the baseline.
Brian, you ever seen these movies?
I've seen bits and pieces here or there. My mom has them on all the time
because like they run 24/7 for like 2 months.
Oh yeah, they
fire these out on a production line.
Yeah,
this is basically The Irishman compared to the average plot for a Christmas movie on one of these channels. Oh god,
you sounded so sure there.
I'm gonna say it's real.
Wow.
All right, Justin starts off with a point.
Oh, doggone it. Because I thought...
Here we go.
All right. That was a very uninspired... I would have expected more color commentary from an IMDb synopsis, but
yeah. Well, you have to like pick and choose.
Yeah.
I got in your head in exactly the correct way, as it turns out.
Yeah, no, as you do.
Number two, starting with Justin. The name of the film... April, May, July. April's best friends since elementary school were May and July. They did everything together except celebrate Christmas, and now they finally know why. July recently lost her dog on Christmas Eve last year, so now she's sworn off the whole thing. Can April and May show July what December is all about?
Oh my god! Oh god, Mikey, you are like a one man AI just spitting out this gibberish. If it's fake, which I don't know, because it seems so much like these movies. I'm gonna say
it's a channel on television that has the characters April, May, and July. It is 100% Lifetime.
It's just too perfect that you would do the summer months for the winter, but it's a Christmas story and the lost dog might have been having it be a little too cute if it's fake, but I don't think so. I believe that April, May, and July, or June, I forget, is that's real. It's real.
I believe it's fake. Because the only reason I think the idea is so ludicrous that it's got to be fake, but the writing on it was just off enough that I do believe that somebody would write that for IMDb. I'm gonna go fake. It's called April, May, and July.
April, May, July. Oh, just three words.
April, May, July.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's double fake because May, July is like made you lie. And that's the kind of clever writing. That's the kind of victory lap that fucking Mikey would put in there.
April, May, July.
Fake.
By the way, if it is real, then it means that at some point, some screenwriter who's trying to bang this out as fast as possible is like, gotta save June for the sequel.
I mean, we're wondering what the character design of June will appear as. Brian, you were correct.
Also, it would make more sense. Like, if we're doing hack writing, then it would be April, May, June, because those are real names. I don't know many girls named July.
It was funny.
It was funny. Was it intentional that it had the words "made you lie" in it?
Yeah, I did not intend that.
Oh. See, that's how good I am at this game.
All right.
I'm able to recognize genius even he didn't know that he had.
Stop it, please.
All right. starting with Justin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, starting with Brian. It started with me. Brian.
It's yeah. Yeah, one each.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sorry. Number three, Brian.
Yes.
Daddy Hates Christmas. A pair of precocious children concoct a plan to save Christmas, lock their dad in the cellar until he agrees to love it again. But they get more than they bargained for when they realize their dad might actually have been Santa Claus.
Oh, man, the only thing that worries me is having the word hates in the title of a feel-good kid Lifetime movie romp. Like, it feels like that you would want something softer, but...
You would think that it would be more like the Christmas Problem or right. Something like that.
Yeah, right? Like it's just aggressive enough that somebody somewhere would be all like
fuck Christmas.
Exactly.
Dad.
The reckoning.
Yeah.
Dad's
two
reckoning.
Kids. Fuck Christmas. Love dad.
But this in favor of this being real is the idea that, I mean, with the success of Santa Claus, like, what if the Santa Claus was seen from the kid's perspective and, like, you know, they never knew dad was Santa and he just had to work a lot.
I mean, but that's kind of the beauty of this genre is that, like, there's not a ton to work with Christmas, right? There's, like, things you do on Christmas, the way that Christmas makes you feel, Rudolph, Santa, Frosty,
the robot
baby.
Revolution.
Yeah, but beyond that, you're like, we're just only dealing with permutations. And by the way, people have been mining that shit for fucking 150 years.
Yeah, I'm going to go out. I mean, this is a wacky one, but I'm going to say maybe it's real. I'll say it's real. Just the word hates in it, though. That's you don't see many Christmas lovey-dovey movies with the word hates in the title.
Yeah, but this is like the kids are trying to, you know, they trap the dad. That is a crime. I mean, like, you're still your children, but you're committing a crime.
And also, what are they doing? The dad's like, unless he's knocked out or something, he's probably saying, kids, come on, open the door.
Yeah.
And then they what, ignore him and go rummaging through his shit? And then figure out that four passports, these are in different names.
I'm going to say that it's real.
Workman's comp grievance in Elvish.
Okay. Both of you are wrong. Oh. It's fake.
God damn it. Well, it should be real. Hold on. Let's write that motherfucker right now.
Yeah.
Let's. So how?
Lifetime, we're available, by the way.
Yeah, I know. All these ready to go, baby. All you gotta say, we could turn these fuckers around in 48 hours.
What clues could they be figuring out after they locked him in the...
They locked him in the basement.
And also the logic of, like, dad hates Christmas. Like, yeah, let's bust his kneecaps.
Yeah, it gets real misery real fast. Yeah, like...
All right.
Or better yet, hold on. Maybe they lock him in the closet because they've done, like, one of those, when churches do haunted houses, like, they've set up, like, a haunted house perils of not loving Christmas.
Oh,
enough.
Jesus Christ.
The war on Christmas.
Yeah.
This holiday season.
Behold the secular wasteland. Oh, say it again, my tribe. Happy holidays.
What is this coffee cup? Just a present wrapper. Get out of here. It should have Christ's love on it. Christ loves you. Happy birthday to me. And it's Jesus giving you double thumbs up.
Buddy Christ. All right.
Oh, who's this poor beggar on the street asking for Jesus Christ? You're like, well, I got kicked out of Christmas. It's a real bummer.
Justin.
Yo.
And then he gets to, hold on, and then he gets to the end. Nope. And then he finally comes out. And the kids are like, did you learn your lesson, Dad? He's like, motherfuckers, I am Kris Kringle.
Yeah.
How did you not know?
Like, I'm very fat. I have a beard. Like, I look exactly like Santa Claus.
My knees are very old. How have you clubbed me in them?
We have reindeer Santa in the driveway.
All right, ready.
All right.
Number four.
Yes.
All I got for Christmas was a reindeer. Ally McPhee is an ad executive in the big city. At least that was before her father's wayward reindeer came to visit her at her apartment. Can a reindeer survive on New York streets? Can a reindeer survive on New York streets on hot dogs alone? Will Ally see the parts of Christmas she's been missing since she was a child?
Fuck you, Mikey. Like, and I offer that in the most sincerest Christmas tones. A Yuletide, go fuck yourself, because this is gotta be real. This is so real.
Yeah,
it's
dude.
So real that I'm gonna be so fucking pissed if it's fake.
Well, I mean,
it's obviously real.
No, I ain't gonna be pissed because I'm gonna be fucking rich when I sell this script, because it's gotta be real or it's gonna be real. Either way, it's real.
The day we all became millionaires, I just gave you really good pitches. That was fake as well.
God damn it! I feel
we got to flesh this one out, because the only part I like, maybe there's an inheritance, and she's like, what am I gonna do with, like, delivery, Miss McPhee. Just put it on the doorstep. You're like, it's pretty big. And then, you know, they crane it up. And then she says, they try to explain how big the package is. And she's like, she's not wanting to hear it. She goes, I don't want to hear it. You do whatever it takes. I've got a lot of money. I'm Ally McPhee. And then she slams the door and walks off. And like, you heard the lady. And so, you know, they do a crane. And they take out the window of her penthouse. And then they move in the box. Or whatever, she walks in and she goes, what the fuck is it? And then she, you know, boom, opens, out walks a reindeer. What am I going to do with a reindeer? And then it's like awkward, trying to lure it into the elevator. And then, you know, nonchalant moment with the neighbors looking at there. They're like, you know, they're like silent beat. And then it's like, nice reindeer, you know? And then it's
like, hold on. I love that this started with you saying, we got to fill this out. And now you're just narrating the first 3 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, no.
Where nothing happens.
I'm telling you, this is if we're going to make this pitch, we got to know where the beats are.
Well, yes, we also have to get beyond the first 3 minutes of the movie.
Well, where does it go next?
Pan over to a bunch of pictures.
Well, where does it go
credit
next?
Oh, well, I mean, so you had her being rich. I have her being a little bit more like she's just getting started. She's like the assistant in Devil Wears Prada, right? So now she's in the shitbag New York City apartment, and all of a sudden she's like walking home. She has like some terrible day. Everything's going awful. Next thing you know, this reindeer from her childhood comes in, and then the tension of the story is her dad's like driving down to get it. That's our B plot, is the dad.
Wait, did the dad die? Didn't she inherit it?
Oh, wait. Wait, did he inherit it in this fake script?
No, it's her father's wayward reindeer.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a lost
and to be
reindeer.
Clear oh, here,
yeah.
Got it. Oh.
I think we need to treat the reindeer as the relationship. So they need to have a big late act two falling out where they both like destroy each other's lives completely and do unforgivable things.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's like, so she's really working hard for this big promotion, and it's all coming down to the big Christmas party where she needs to like impress her boss, but the reindeer like didn't get fed or something like that.
Wait, once, next one, thing you just know, one more back scratch.
There are 15 of these. I want to point out.
we got time.
So that's right. So now the character that you had in your version.
Yeah.
Really, she's the boss.
Yeah.
And so
okay.
She's the bitchy boss. And next thing you know, the reindeer comes in and like ruins the Christmas party and
the big presentation. And then they're like the boss is all aghast and we're like, you are supposed to be selling sanitary napkins and you bring in a reindeer. And then there's pause. And then, Kotex branding exec says, we love it. And then,
she gets the promotion. Next question.
Yeah.
Mikey.
Come on.
Number 5, I believe, starts with Brian.
Yes. All the odd ones are
five. The Hounds of Christmas. A collection of wayward dogs descend upon the town of Racker, New Hampshire, just in time for Christmas. This year, if the townspeople can learn about the qualities of together as a family, they'll all be getting a dog for the holidays. based on the book by Holly Meacham.
Man, the animal movies are expensive, more expensive because you have to, well, no, but you don't have to pay them because they're dogs.
You have to pay the trainers.
You can actually pay them scale.
Smaller scale.
Yeah, and also you can actually hire non-union dogs, so it actually saves you.
Also,
if
like,
you want to be a scab, Jerry.
That's also a very Mikey writing move to just toss in that little wabi sabi detail, like based on the book by Harriet Beecher Stowe. I'll go real, real. I'm not sure why people have to learn a lesson about Christmas in order to get a dog.
That's all of the movies.
Yeah, that's true.
They all learn a lesson about Christmas so they can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until you play by the rules in these movies.
I'm going to say that it is indeed fake.
Justin gets a second point.
Damn.
I feel the Christmas power.
Pounds.
which means number. Ooh, caffeine burp. Oh, God. I'm sorry. Number six goes back to Justin.
Yeah.
Number six, bah humbug, Christmas is canceled. A modern retelling of Charles Dickens' classic Christmas story, A Christmas Carol, told with a modern twist. Zach Scrugg is a workaholic social media app creator who only cares about his metrics. But when he sees a post by one of his workers about his son being in the hospital with a debilitating illness, he receives a visit from three Christmas calls on his cell phone that will show him the true meaning of Christmas.
Oh, my God. These are the ones that are impossible to tell. Like, everything else that we've had, like, there's been little things. But this is why you are just a son of a bitch. This is perfect. This has to exist, or some version of it has to exist. But I'm going to say it's fake.
Real.
It is fake.
God damn.
That one's great. That's insane. Insane that one isn't real.
Well, and because it would be so unbelievably cheap to make. You could make it literally in a weekend. And if it was, decent enough script, you'd be like, oh, that's cute. They're doing that thing.
based on these movies, the quality of these movies, a weekend would be a luxurious budget.
Oh, are you still there?
Yeah, sorry. Coming back.
Oh, okay.
I lost the call for a second. Can you hear me?
Yeah. We're all good. All
right. Then we are currently 3-1. Justin is winning after six questions.
Yeah.
Feel that Christmas spirit. Jingle jangle, bitch.
I don't like it. Number seven. Back to Brian.
Yeah.
A Dream of Christmas. When Santa sets off on it. With Santa sets off on his Christmas duties a day early, crashes into the Fox family's house, ends up with amnesia, and loses his magic sack of presents. He needs help, but the Fox family are a modern and broken family. Can they help him? The parents are preoccupied with work, and the kids aren't very festive. But it's up to them to teach... But it's up to them to help Santa find his magical bag of toys, and the clock is ticking, or Christmas will be ruined.
I'll go real. I mean, at this point, we've already established that you have a supernatural ability to pass the Turing test of writing these, and now I'm more motivated by the question of whether or not you're going to pull a fast one and have all of them be fake, because I think all of them have been fake so far.
The first one was real.
Yeah. Oh, that's real. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah. Everything.
No. Trust me, brother. I've been down this road many times. When you start counting and start playing streaks with this man,
yeah,
he has no fear. He will switch up. Like, there is no discernible pattern. There is no Morse code to Mikey's logic.
I'm glad
logic.
Someone noticed.
I'm going to go real. I will go real.
I will also go real.
You will both get a point.
Yeah. Well, now I want to watch that movie.
Yeah. Can we actually pull up the
trailer?
Not the trailer, but I just want to know if I know anybody in these movies or if there's any of those.
A Dream of Christmas.
A Dream of Christmas. That's the other thing that's like one of those titles because they all blend in. They're all like very, very, very similar, or they're like
blank, blank, Christmas, blank.
Yeah.
Nikki DeLoach, Andrew Walker, and Lisa Durrup. Oh, man.
I wish I'd never gotten married.
Oh, wait. Oh. That's a wish for. Wife from Dexter, and she was on Angel and Buffy. Isn't that Darla?
Oh, maybe.
Might not be.
Your wish? You don't know me?
Am I supposed to?
You're wealthy, single, successful.
I don't know
what to do.
Nikki DeLoach.
Wait a minute.
Walker and Cindy Williams. A Dream of Christmas.
I think there might be multiple.
Multiple. Yeah, because it looks to me that's a Hallmark one.
That's a Hallmark one.
Also,
yeah.
It looks like they are doing the George Bailey one. It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh yeah,
because
she
got her wish. I'd never been born or whatever.
Yeah, this one was she wishes to be single. Oh man. Okay. Well. Apologies for that. A Dream of Christmas.
Did anyone see Santa crash into the Fox's family house, ends up with amnesia, and lose his magic sack of presents? Is it possible that there is more than one A Dream of Christmas?
That's I think there certainly is, yeah.
In fact, there might be multiple A Dream of Christmases airing at the same time right now as we talk to each other.
Dream of Christmas are airing. Okay, number 8.
Yeah.
This goes to Justin.
It's me, baby.
A Dish for Christmas. Nicole Sloan is an ad executive that loves Christmas, but when it becomes her year to cook the family meal, she has a panic attack. Can Noelle learn to make a 6-course Christmas feast in only 10 days, or will her Christmas turkey become a Christmas disaster?
This is me. This is you first.
A dish for Christmas.
I mean, look, there are only so many nouns you can put before the word Christmas. Blank Christmas.
The Lifetime Channel and Hallmark Channel both like dare to challenge you on that. They will find every word that they can put in front of Christmas. That is indeed their mission.
A dish for Christmas.
Although I can envision the like food porn version of one of these stories, right, where she has to learn and it's just a bunch of delicious shots of food, I think it's fake. Even like for one of these movies, it's a little bit of a threadbare plot.
I think it's so real because, I mean, there's so many easy bits you can do and it's like it all comes together and And I'll make the double prediction. Not only is it real, but the end of the second act is when it's all a disaster and everybody shows up and it was a potluck the whole time. Everyone shows up with all the food because they're like, we knew you couldn't cook. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-bum. Everyone's fine.
Well, it's fake.
Damn, yeah. Damn. This is more money in the bank for me. Maybe I'm just thinking of all the gold we're minting.
Number 9's back to Brian. The elves are on strike. After working without pay for 1,400 years, the elves have had enough of Santa's promises. Will the Claus family be able to stifle a workers' rebellion?
What the fuck? The protagonist of the Claus is trying to break a union?
I can do it.
Fucking Union Buster Kringle.
All right.
Well, elves, you know that you can always come to me, but you'd have a better working relationship.
After working without pay for 1,400 years, the elves have had enough of Santa's promises. Will the Claus family be able to stifle a workers' rebellion with only 20 days left in the calendar year? And will the elves remember why they took the job in the first place? The smiles of a child.
Oh, God. if this wasn't on Lifetime, if this was like an HBO original, not only would I love for it to be real, but I would watch the fuck out of this. This sounds like it would be an epic 10-episode season.
Now, but
season.
Here's what you don't know, but I don't think either of us really know.
Yeah.
Is you got to think about what is the demo of the Lifetime channel watching these movies? Because they right. might be a lot of red state moms that might like because we would look at that and say in our cosmopolitan world, like, oh, that's ridiculous. They'd never make a movie where the good guy is breaking up a union and the elves still have to work for free. But you never know. I mean, who knows whether or not there's a union bias amongst the Lifetime channel.
I want
channel.
To believe it's real. And in fact, if it is real, then I will have to watch this. But I am going to say it's fake.
Justin, what did you say? Sorry.
There's no fucking way this is real. I was trying to sell it to Brian. I swear to God, if we... All right.
If this does exist, then we make the entire internet promise to watch. We're going to do a live commentary. Yes.
It's fake. You are correct.
Gotcha.
Yes.
That one is tough to get through. Which got time for this next one. Pray for me. This is 10, so it's back to Justin.
Back to me. Yeah.
I'll try. The Santa incident. After his sleigh is shot down while flying through restricted military airspace.
Yes.
Santa is sought for questioning by a pair of overzealous Homeland Security agents.
Yes.
Christmas is now in the hands of the disbelieving by-the-book duo, unless their faith in Santa can be restored by two children and a trio of elves who have arrived up north to help out a friend in need.
Do you know what the most popular Lifetime Channel original series was?
No, I don't.
Army Wives.
Oh, yeah?
I think that this is 100% absolutely real.
Yeah, I think it's real, too.
Justin, real fact, you picked up in the last question a thing I definitely saw running through all of these. What you're saying, I think, is accurate. Not necessarily to this one, obviously, but
yeah. Oh, the demo. Red state moms are what's powering these ratings.
I definitely saw a grouping that led me to union bust.
You're like, what else? What else are these women into? I think that this is military hijinks making the like bureaucracy the bad guys.
Sure.
Like, I think this is real.
Yep, I think it's real, too.
You are both correct.
Yeah!
The Santa incident. Like, when I got to Homeland Security...
I just need to know who is in... If there's anybody
the Santa incident. The Santa incident.
Yeah, this is from 2010, the Santa incident.
Damn, 10-year anniversary. Salute.
Allie Lyons, Scott Graham, James Cosmo... Let's see. Eon Sky, Jonathan Kerrigan, Greg Gurman,
and
Sean...
of course Finn O'Shea as Hamley.
Finn O'Shea.
I played Hamley on stage. Cambridge. You respect my Hamley.
All right. Brian, you get the next one.
All right. Ready.
All right. Number 11. Blitzen is missing. A high-powered ad executive named David Burris.
So many goddamn ad executives.
You know, don't get lost. Don't get lost in the woods.
All right,
This is how we do it.
I know.
Just when you're at the fork in the road and you've kept your path going, he just prances one of these magical creatures
I believe all of the fake ones have had ad executives who are high-powered.
All right. A high-powered ad executive named David Burris gets a little more than he bargained for when he climbed onto the roof of his ad agency to jump off. But when Santa lands on a nearby rooftop lamenting the loss of one of his reindeer, David will spring into action and help save Christmas. And maybe himself in the process.
David will spring into action by launching himself off the roof and killing himself.
It begins with an attempted suicide.
Which, by the way, since It's a Wonderful Life is part of like Christmas canon, weirdly, suicide is baked into holiday trope.
No, that's true. I think you did. I think you nudged me. I think we've had so many fake high-power ad executives.
I swear, can't make this. I'm asking you, Brian.
We'll see. Because I'm gonna
channel
say,
your
I'm
Christmas
gonna,
spirit.
I'm gonna say this one's real. This one's real.
Blitzen is Missing is a brilliant title. Well, if you were, because that would be the best reindeer, the best non-Rudolph reindeer.
Is Blitzen
to go? Well, no, just name wise. Like yeah, well, Blitzen is missing. Comet. Blitzen missing. Comet doesn't. What does Comet rhyme with?
Vomit.
Yes. Okay. Comet vomit. Is not.
Also, are you saying that Blitzen is missing is a rhyme?
Blitzen is missing.
Okay, not the title, but that's all right.
Oh, yeah, but it's close.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, like, what?
It's an Eminem rhyme.
It's yeah. Okay. It's
in how you say it.
Yeah. What other of Santa's reindeer can you put a plot initiator behind that like kind of rhymes.
It'd be a Comet's Dominance. It's about him crushing all the female puss.
You don't want to be the virgin. You want to be the comet.
The follow up, Dasher's Flasher, in which he inappropriately exposes himself.
So it's somber Me Too story of the reindeer.
Yeah, it turns out each of them has a different dark secret.
Finally, Dasher's revealed to be the Louis C.K. of the reindeer crew.
This went very off the rails.
All right, so you said real.
I say real.
I think it's real as well.
It is fake.
Boy, that would have really stung if you'd smelled that one right.
I'm glad that Justin saw the It's a Wonderful Life thing, because I'm like, this is bad taste if you don't sort of connect up that Christmas movies are inherently about that.
That's
this Capra movie or whatever.
Because that's the thing. It's like that It's a Wonderful Life is not only a classic movie, right? But also it's like it's been there forever. And so like now it just grandfathers in like what you're allowed to do in a Christmas story. Like you are allowed to want to kill yourself in a Christmas story thanks to It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay, number 12. This one's fun. This goes to Justin, I think.
Yeah.
Number 12. Christmas at Target, paid advertisement. The Clausen family is running out of time to complete their Christmas shopping, but a surprise blizzard will strand them and other shoppers at the hometown Target for the night. With the help of Target team members, they'll discover the magic of family as well as Christmas.
Woo! This one!
Wow.
I wish I knew more about this channel now, because I would want to know how much, like, where on the line of like presented to you by Target versus like, no, we're just going to make a Target movie. That being said, again, these things run 24/7.
Right.
So if you slipped in one Target themed movie.
Well, and also like, yeah, you get Target in the title, but it's like, you know, Christmas at Macy's, Christmas at what's the famous toy shop in New York that was in
Bay? Oh, F.A.O. Schwartz.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's like, again, Red State Moms probably could relate more to what it'd be like.
Really, for me, the question is whether or not Lifetime has crossed that line of like, yeah, we'll just make an entire movie. Like, we have this script. It can be Walmart. It can be Target.
Right.
It can be whatever. We're just going to go call up all of our advertising sponsors and be like, yeah, you want to be the thing that it's in?
Yep.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say yes, too. I think it's real.
Real.
Fake.
Ah! Oh, wow. It's not a bad. It's not a bad pitch.
Apparently, I apologize. Yeah, I mean,
we do this quiz again next year, and how many will be real by then?
I know, right? I would like to apologize.
Some of the lifetimes, like, oh shit! Oh god, this is great. Oh god, goodness, golly glaciers! Everyone at Lifetime talks. Back to Brian.
Yeah, we're at
three questions left.
All right,
the score is 7-4. Brian, you got to get these right. Justin, you got to get all these wrong.
Brian, in the spirit of Christmas,
what?
I will go opposite all of yours.
Really?
I will not game theory.
Wow.
I will go opposite all yours.
Okay. All right. Wow. Okay. All right.
So Brian, you got to go 3-3.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Okay. All right. Woo. Wow.
Number 13. Battle of the Bulbs. Bob Wallace makes sure to go all out every year on Christmas decorations so that he can have the brightest and most festive house in the neighborhood. This year, he notices that his new neighbor has put up an even brighter and more lavish display. The fight is on when they declare war for the best Christmas decoration display in the neighborhood, starring Daniel Stern.
I'll stick by my word and say it's fake. Although I feel
Brian
like I might
right.
be. Oh, you did? Oh, good.
I got it right. Oh, okay. So no. But in your heart, did you think it was real or fake?
No, I thought it was. I thought it was fake.
So, Okay. Christmas miracle. Here we come.
All right.
5-7.
Crush it. Going to Brian again for the first time. Number 14. Christmas in Paradise. Set in the popular small Hawaiian town of Lahaina, we meet Reggie, someone working night and day shifts to make ends meet. But he can't afford any presents for his family. Instead of telling his family the truth, he promises the whole town that he will make it snow this Christmas. And so he begins his quest for the ancient gemstone of Kualaua'a.
So good.
Christmas in Hawaii stories, classic. There have been many Christmas in Hawaii stories.
Yeah.
So that would feed into it.
Yeah. I guess I'm thinking about budgetary restrictions, how expensive it is to do stuff in Hawaii, but they could probably
I mean you probably bunch it up, use the same crew for a couple things.
Yeah.
And also, I think Hawaii has one of those like tourism budgets, so you probably get part of the budget kickback.
Yeah, I'm gonna say fake. I'm gonna say fake on this one.
Yeah, I'll go.
Correct.
Oh!
All right. Here we go.
In your heart, though, did you think it was real?
I thought it was real.
Oh!
Yeah. No, for real.
Wow, we're on the last one, Brian. You better nail this.
All right. Oof, oof. Here we go. Here we go.
Number 15. The night before Christmas.
Okay.
When Santa sets off on his Christmas duties a day early. Wait. Didn't I already read this one?
Did he get shot out of the sky and then have two Homeland Security people?
By the way,
that was the Santa incident.
That was a different one.
Yeah, that was the Santa incident.
That was the Santa incident.
He gets shot down a lot.
This doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard any of this before.
He said the day before Christmas. Yep. Before. Then Santa started the day before Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
This was, I read this description for A Dream of Christmas.
Oh.
Oh, that might be
one. So I copy and pasted one wrong, which is hilarious. So I'm going to read the exact same thing, and you still got to tell me if it's real or fake. When Santa sets off on his Christmas duties a day early, crashes into the Fox family's house, ends up with amnesia, and loses his magic sack of presents, he needs help. But the Fox family are a modern and broken family. Can they help him? The parents are preoccupied with work, and the kids are very festive, but it's up to them to help Santa find his magical bag of toys, and the clock is ticking, or Christmas will be ruined.
Wait a minute, hold on.
This is a living nightmare.
Do you remember if this was real or fake?
Because we just did it a little bit ago.
Brian, this is your Christmas challenge.
Okay.
Do you remember?
I remember.
Literally 20 minutes
okay,
ago.
Actually, the answer was no, but I can deduce that I think I remember that we did find A Dream of Christmas, which means the only reason we would have found
it. No, we found the Hallmark version.
I know, but we told him, find me that trailer. And the only reason we'd say that is if it turned out to be real. So I'm going to say this is.
Wait, what's the title of this one, Mikey?
The Night Before Christmas. And you should look up this trailer after we're done, if it's real.
Yeah, I say it's real.
It is real.
Yeah!
But
it's worth it. Pity tie, pity tie.
Hold on, wait a minute. So, because the other one was real too. So yeah, there's
title
two movies.
Alone. This actually is the description for this movie.
Oh, gotcha.
That's the other one was the right. Because remember how it didn't line up? And I was like, where's the amnesia and all the other stuff? I
think that's gotcha. Oh, wait. So that was.
Strike the other question.
That was actually the Dream of Christmas thing that we saw.
Yeah.
The woman who wishes to be single.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was the incorrect one. This was the actual one. The night before Christmas. Brian, we
tie
a
game.
Christmas
tie
tie
game. Christmas miracle. We did it.
Christmas tie.
It was a Christmas miracle. Oh man. I thought you were playing that lady screaming sounder.
No, god damn it. We almost got through December.
I would have done it if the timing wasn't so bad now.
Oh man.
Mikey, what in the binge watch that you had for these movies, was there any particular favorite of yours that you enjoyed the most of the real ones that you were watching before you wrote this out?
There was one, and I don't remember the exact title because they're all so vague.
Yeah,
because that was what was kind of important about this one, is picking the not as vague titles that are like Christmas is great.
Yeah.
You know? There was one where she worked at a warehouse, the main character.
The high powered ad executive.
Yeah. Met a dude who wanted a job, and she gets him a job, and then they like start dating, but by the third date, lavishly out of control, like expectations about anniversaries and all. It was just very odd. So the dude turned out, I think it's called All I Want for Christmas is actually what I'm thinking about. The dude turns out to be a secret like billionaire and secret rock star, which is like every crush, right?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Secretly, you're also a rock star.
Yeah.
And it was very odd because like we had to get on a plane to come back from Vegas after the car accident and stuff because we stayed an extra day and we didn't get to see the resolution. But like when we left at that like second act, like oops, it all exploded. I was like, no two humans would ever speak to each other again after this moment. And like, yep. Wait. No, not that one. I'm sure All I Want for Christmas is a very popular title.
There were about four when I looked
at that. Yeah, I was like, that's All I Want for Christmas. No, not that one. No, yeah, not that one either.
Not the other one.
Yeah.
No, go back to. Go back to.
1991 American romantic comedy with Haley Jane Kozak? Probably not.
And Leslie Nielsen.
This was a Paramount picture. This is a big one.
Yeah. Try All I Want for Christmas, Billionaire.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. All
I, for me, I don't even remember. There's like mistaken identity, like secret affairs that aren't affairs. They're just like family member. It's wild.
Oh, so like she starts getting suspicious because he found like, so it's like Crazy Rich Asians, but
you have to do it in that comical Lifetime way where like people like twirl their mustache and they're like, hello, I would like to have a secret and affair. No, that was just my cousin.
Yeah.
Who I talked to in that way. It's just very, like the whole movie is just wild.
Oh, I think this is it. I think this is it for 2007. Anxious to help his struggling widowed mom, Sarah. 10-year-old Jesse enters a national video contest.
No.
No? Dazzled into accepting a proposal from a wealthy man she may not love? It's got the wealthy man.
Yeah, by the way, welcome to Lifetime.
where all the men are wealthy.
No, they run a Christmas warehouse.
Oh,
yeah,
All I Want for Christmas Warehouse.
It's me, but like secretly, the dude she's interested in turns out to actually be also related to the people that like run the whole thing. So like when people start getting laid off, she gets pretty mad because she's like, hey, you did that. And like he won't take ownership over any of the like boss stuff, but we'll... it's wild.
Dude. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that you're feeling better. I'm sorry that you had to go through such physical pain to force you into watching 12 straight hours of Lifetime Christmas movies. But I'm thrilled that we got this themed Mikey quiz.
It's own thing, because like all movies are good in some way if you just know how to like them. And like I find that no matter what, like, wild, circuitous path you're gonna take to, like, and they end up together because, like, space aliens come down and, like, they take them to court kind of shit. And, like, that's kind of, like, it'll go, who knows? But it ends up nice and fine. And that I think is sort of the allure, is, like, Christmas will always win. Like, there's no... actually, Christmas lost this time, sort of.
Well, that is like the theme of these movies are Christmas is undefeated. Watch its dominance against any and all comers.
Yeah, and what I love about them is they always have a secondary friend character who like either doesn't understand Christmas and asks the most basic questions, or is so gung-ho that they will accept no one having like even a flat reaction to being like, it's Christmas!
Yeah.
Which is just delightful.
Hey.
It's just delightful. Love.
Just to check back in, what's the latest over at FilmJoy?
I just did a Star Wars episode called Too Many Thoughts About Star Wars.
What was your hot take on that one?
Mostly just kind of going back through like what the new trilogy sort of put up, like how producers like Kathleen Kennedy have been working professionally for like decades upon decades. So I kind of wanted to tell her story. There's a section called The Story of Star Wars, which sort of tells you about like how much of an accident all that was. It is kind of all about accidents because George was in a pretty serious one before he was a filmmaker. In fact, it's the reason he was going to be a race car driver.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, he got hit by I don't even remember. Really bad going into his family ranch, and he actually got ejected from the car because his racing belt, because I don't think seatbelts really existed, but he had a racing belt. That's what his car looked like. And he got sideswiped and he flew out of it.
Oof.
And then he couldn't race anymore. So he went off and made some weird art films and Star Wars happened. So I kind of like...
Are you...
It just wasn't like a perfect thing from the get-go.
No.
Like a lot of people had to figure a lot of stuff out.
I just realized that this is where in the future. So everybody's already seen Star Wars by now.
Yeah, they've all seen Rise. Everyone's seen Rise of Skywalker by the time that everybody's watching this, and so have we. We've all seen it.
Yeah, boy. I mean, remember those feelings we had—the powerful ones and the mild ones. And
dude, tell you what, my favorite part of Rise of Skywalker was that first time that you see Mr. Mistopheles, and like, boy, is he catting around and. Next thing you know, you have the other cat, and they're dancing, and, you know, it's, I love
Jason
that's,
Derulo shows
Jason
up.
Derulo. I didn't even know Jason Derulo was in Star Wars, but it turns out he is.
It's a Star Wars, buddy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? He has said that?
Wouldn't it be great to just swap all of the reviews of cats and Star Wars, where it's just like, Star Wars, too horny, way too horny.
I mean, so obviously, full disclosure, we're recording this before any of us have seen the movie, but they're both taking the long way round to Rotten Tomatoes freshness, I think would be the charitable way to say.
Oh yeah, yeah. There was a hot second that it wasn't even fresh.
Oh no,
that's on the tomatometer.
That's for real now.
That's still
true. Oh, it's still the case?
Yeah. Which means it will likely be the case.
Oh, we now have a big enough sample size. Oh, goodness. Oh, 57% as we record this.
Huh. I would like to point out that Knives Out, it's still at 97%.
Knives Out was great. That was a lot of fun. It was. I liked it a lot, and it made me go back and rewatch Clue, and Clue holds up. When's the last time you watched Clue?
Actually, a couple weeks ago. Yeah. It does hold up very well. I have a random movie question.
Go ahead. Yep.
Did y'all see Parasite? I just saw this recently.
Oh, I not only saw it, but I was fortunate enough to go in literally not knowing anything about it at all whatsoever. Yeah, it was one of those, like if you can go in fully blind, you will enjoy it.
So I have not seen it.
Okay.
So, but I've heard it's great.
It is very, very, very good and very surprising. It's not what it appears to be on the surface.
Yeah. But then again, just knowing
there ain't no Korean people in it?
No.
It did occur to me, like, I was just loving the hell out of it, and then I remembered, like, oh, man, this director's so great. What are the other movies they did? Okja, Snowpiercer, and then I was like, oh, the thing that I'm expecting, this isn't going to stay. Like, there'll be something's going to be different because I know who directed it, and
there will be wild dissections of class structure.
Yes. It was worth it.
It delivers. Delivers.
No, I'll definitely catch it.
Man, I think we did it. We had a Christmas miracle.
We did. Of course, Film Joy is Mikey Newman's channel there on YouTube. Head on over there. Make sure you watch his Movies with Mikey series. Do you have any big stuff planned for 2020? I know you're really good at laying stuff out.
Yeah, I've been doing the planning for next year. Next video coming up is a Fave 5 toward the beginning of the year, where it's my five favorite movies from 2019. Oh, yeah. And then, yeah, we're doing some big ones. I have a big two-parter Lord of the Rings thing coming up.
Nice.
Quite a bit into the year, but I don't know, just good stuff.
Can you give us any hint on your Fave 5? Can you tell us one movie that is on your Fave 5?
Well, I can tell you what's at the center of it because it was my favorite movie. Not that I rank Midsommar.
Oh, oh yeah! Wow. Bryce said good things about it.
Midsommar is very good. It's gruesome.
I mean,
but it's great.
It goes. Mm-hmm. Man, I was emotionally in a rough place watching that film because, like, you recognize all these like signs of abusers and people that gaslight other people, and the movie just like openly embraces them and is like, I know this might be hard, but trust me, we'll get through this. It's wild, shocking, terrifying, beautiful. It's hard to
very kind of refreshing for a horror movie, I'd also say.
Definitely not made like other ones would be. The violence is shocking, but it's so matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you barely, I don't know. It's tough to say too many nice things. Knives Out is on there. Parasite is on there. I left a spot for Rise of the Skywalker, which I have, as of the recording of this, not actually seen.
Yeah.
Based on a lot of what I'm hearing, I don't know if that spot will stay there.
Yeah, do you have a backup?
Oh yeah, well, I have a whole list.
This was a really good year. I kind of feel like there were a few times that I remember leaving a movie and thinking like, oh, that'll definitely be a Best Actor nomination. That'll definitely be a Best Actress nomination. That'll definitely be a Best Picture. And then at a certain point, I'm like, damn, I think I've said this like seven times. Like, this is going to be a crowded award season.
Well, it too, not only just for award good movies, but just good movies in general. We did our Achilles awards, and I totally forgot. Endgame happened this year. We got to see Avengers Endgame. Like, that's how many good things there were.
I mean, this year started with stuff like Us and The Kid Who Would Be King, which I did episodes of, you should see it about, but like that was 2019.
Yeah. Yeah.
What feels like a decade ago.
Yeah, no, great year. I'm actually excited. I think I've seen most of the movies that like got like nominations for like Golden Globes and stuff like that. So I would assume that there'll be a lot of the same that'll get the Oscar nominations. But I think I might actually be like invested in the Oscars for the first time in a while.
Did you see The Irishman?
I did.
And is it good?
It's definitely 3.5 hours. I liked it a lot. I liked it a lot. I mean, I will say this. If you enjoy those, if you enjoy Scorsese gangster movies, it's kind of a must watch because, you know, there's nobody that makes that movie like he does. Mm-hmm. And this is a feast of it. Some of the stuff that
Joe Pesci is the best thing in it. Pesci's, Joe Pesci gives the performance of his career.
Pesci's fucking amazing because
and De Niro's fine.
I mean, some of the stuff that people have made fun of it for, that like they do good de-aging, although sometimes it's like you don't really get the sense of exactly how young they're supposed to be, but they definitely look younger than they actually are.
Do they do that thing where it's like they do a good job of making them look young, but they're still moving like old people? Because that, yeah, well, that stood out a lot from Samuel L. Jackson on Captain Marvel.
It'll stand out more on this one because there's a beating scene that it's particularly egregious.
Yes.
Because like you could tell De Niro's like, come back here. Oh. Which, I mean, we age. It happens.
Yeah, sure.
But like digitally replace his face with a different body, I think would be the wiser.
The better way to go.
I think we are going to start to see more of that. I mean, we already do it with stunt doubles and stuff. We'll have jogging doubles now.
For me, it didn't bother me as much just because like I kind of enjoy the idea that all mafia hitmen just kind of like are barely scuttled athletic. About. Yeah, but really their one skill is not that they can do some like, you know, backflip James Bond shit, but really they're just willing to shoot people in the face because somebody told them to.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that. I mean, like that, it's more of an exploration of that. I thought it was good. It was definitely well worth watching.
I think
you will reconsider when someone asks you if you paint houses.
Yes, you will. You will reconsider
that statement.
I don't think we've had the chance to talk since Joker came out. How did you land on Joker?
I just saw it for the first time recently, and it was fine.
Wow.
It's shot amazingly well. It is photographed well. I don't think the underlying narrative spoke to me as much because, like, if you're going to be marginalized out of society by all these people, you can't, like, actively hurt the people that are trying to help you. And the movie became kind of a disconnect for me there. Because I didn't have sympathy at the end of it.
I don't think we were supposed to. I mean, to me, it was, you know, it's a straight up mashup remix of Taxi Driver, King of Comedy. And I mean, like, I don't know if I like that movie anywhere near as much if Robert De Niro didn't play, you know,
Travis Bickle.
All the things that they are riffing on, you know. Because Robert De Niro is in the movie and it is a mashup, and like right from the opening, the credit sequence, even the use of the old 1980 Warner Media, like the way that Gotham is portrayed just as the scary New York that I grew up watching in movies was just a joy.
I will say as a comic book movie, it was the first time I've ever watched a comic book movie, a Batman movie, and been like, yo, that town needs a Batman. like that town is fucking lawless. Like, no, that they needed to get a Batman fucking quick. And like, I can only imagine how much shittier it gets because Batman's currently like sucking his thumb. So like, that is a problem for Gotham.
Yeah. It's one of those remarkable movies that like is deeply unpleasant at times, and yet I couldn't wait to go see it again. I immediately, like the next day, took money.
There were elements of like aging stories and like mental illness stories that sometimes kind of get to me on a point where it's like, I can watch it once, I can enjoy it, I can appreciate it. But it's like some of the stuff with him and his mom, I credit to Todd Phillips for making it real, but that is
too real.
That is real. Real on a level that I'm like, I don't know if I need to see Joker again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, great performance. You know, there are some things that I think maybe were in hindsight a little tacked on. But in general, his arc is obviously, you know, compelling. I thought it was really good.
Yeah. All right, man. We want to wrap this up. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Word.
Yep. Merry Christmas. Again, @MikeyFace on Twitter, FilmJoy on YouTube. Brian,
What did we learn today?
We learned that we could do three night attacks right in a row, just day after day, every day. Man, can you imagine 3 hours of this with ad breaks and drive time and getting up at 3 a.m? We got a very cush gig compared to morning DJs.
Yes, indeed we do. I learned that high-powered ad executives sure seem to keep getting themselves into quite the pickle.
I learned that miracles do happen, and I thought that was fun. That even though you let me call that shot, and we ended up with the tie, which I don't think has ever happened.
No, it's a Christmas miracle. See you next Tuesday.
Dine to fire, a Yule log fire. The pit boss is nobody.
Kris Kringle.
So oh my God.
That I wanna drink a warm glass of Drano. Night attack. Night attack. Night attack. Night attack. Night attack. Night attack. Attack. Night attack. I love you.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.